In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. There's probably no more terrifying words in Scripture than what we heard in the Gospel, "Depart from me." Throughout the Gospels, and even in the Old Testament, Christ repeatedly calls to us to come unto Him. In Matthew 11, 28, He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." John chapter 7, verse 37. "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." In Isaiah 55, verse 3, it says, "Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David." John chapter 6, verse 37 says, "And him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." And in the book of Revelation, chapter 3, verse 20, we read, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come to him and will sup with him, and he with me." So throughout this life, Christ is continually calling to us to come unto him, but there comes a day when that invitation is no longer open. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23, we find a very similar saying from Christ. This is from the Sermon on the Mount. He says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" What this tells us is that there are a great many people who are going to hear those words, "Depart from me," and are going to be very surprised, because they came to the judgment fully expecting to hear the words, "Enter ye in the kingdom of my Father. Well done, thou good and faithful servant." But Christ didn't just say, "Well, you know what, you came close, but not close enough." He said, "I never knew you." And what does that mean, "I never knew you"? Well, you often hear people joke about knowing someone in the biblical sense. Because when you read about in the Scriptures, the phrase "to know someone" is often used as a word for sexual relations. But that's because they viewed sexual relations in the Scriptures as being something that was a very intimate knowledge of someone. We should have that kind of knowledge of God, an intimate knowledge, a relationship with Him. If you look at the context before and after this passage, you get a better idea of what Christ is talking about. Before this passage, He says, "You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown to the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them." So it's by the fruits that we know false prophets, which is what Christ was immediately referring to in this section of the Sermon on the Mount, false teachers. But it's also how we can know ourselves whether we're really in a relationship with God, whether we really know God, and that's by the fruits that we bear as Christians. Because if we're Christians, it's not that we earn our salvation by bearing fruit, but we're saved unto good works. And if we really have that kind of a relationship with God, if we really have entered into a covenant relationship with God, then we should want to do the things that please Him, and we should not want to do the things that don't please Him. Immediately after the passage that I quoted, Christ says this, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the wind blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall." So what Christ is talking about here is hearing the word of God and doing it, actually obeying the words and the commandments that we find in Scripture. But it's not just a matter of doing stuff. It's not just a matter of works, but it's a matter of love. The first epistle of St. John, if you want to read what it means to know God, that's pretty much what that whole epistle talks about. And it repeats a number of things throughout the epistle, and it's a very short epistle, and I would encourage all of you to read it. And it actually is not a bad epistle to memorize, because there are so many good things in that epistle that are good to keep in your consciousness at all times. But in 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 8, He said, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. So if you love truly, you know God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested towards us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. If we want to know God, we have to seek him diligently, and we have to ask God to reveal the sin in our life and to take it from us." In Psalm 138, or 139 in the King James, verses 23 and 24, it says, "Prove me, O God, and know my heart. Examine me and know my past, and see if the way of iniquity be in me, and guide me in the way everlasting." We should constantly be asking God, because God wants to prune us, just like a husbandman prunes a vine so that it'll bear a lot of fruit. Because there are certain things in our lives that are sucking up moisture, but they're not producing fruit. They might not even be inherently evil things in our life, but they're things that are not for our benefit or for our salvation. And if we ask God to show us, gradually he will prune these things away from our life, and we will begin to bear fruit. You also have to know the scriptures if you want to know God, because God inspired the scriptures with the intent that we would actually come to know him better by reading it. And if you aren't interested in reading the scripture, you have to ask yourself, are you really interested in knowing God? Because that's where it is. That's not to say that scripture is easy to understand when you're new to it, but you can ask me and I'll help you to understand the scriptures, because it's actually a matter mostly of digging in and starting to read, because at first a lot of things will not make sense to you, but a lot of things will make perfect sense. And then when you read the scriptures again, because you have a wider understanding of scriptures, those things will start to become clearer and clearer. And also if you read the writings of the saints and the fathers of the church, you'll come to an even clearer understanding of the scriptures. It does take time. But when you really love somebody, what do? You want to spend time with them. You want to spend time, you know, reading the things they write for you to read. And you also want to spend time talking to them. So prayer also, spending time daily in prayer, especially in the morning and evening, but throughout the day, shows that you really love God. Because if you are in love with somebody, but you never call them, you never talk to them, you don't read the emails that they send you, you don't respond, what's going to happen? Eventually they're going to figure, well, this person's not really interested in me, and they're going to move on. And that relationship's going to come to an end. But if you're really serious about that person, it's not a drudgery to do those things. You're happy to do those things. You're anxious. You're looking at the clock when you're at work, hoping at 5 o'clock you can get on the phone and talk to that person. Well, if you love God, you should be anxious for those opportunities when you can pray and when you can read the scriptures, because you really want to get to know God better. How do we really know if we know God? The first epistle of St. John tells us about it this way. "Now by this we know that we know him if we keep his commandments." Now, the first passage I read from 1 John talked about if we love, we know God. And some people try to put obeying the commandments and love as if they're two opposite ends of a pole, but they're really not. Because if Christ said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." Christ does not know the workers of iniquities because they have not loved. They have not done what he said, and they're the ones that will hear the words, "Depart, ye cursed." But we, if we will do what God commands us to do, if we will pray to him, if we will seek him earnestly, he desires us. He's constantly saying to us right now, "Come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden." He's not a mean person that is just looking for a reason to send you to hell. He's constantly knocking at the door of your heart, saying, "Let me in." And it's only when at the end of your life, when you've squandered all those opportunities and you've not answered him, that you would hear those words, "Depart from me." But we earnestly strive to come closer to him each and every day, so we can hear the words, "Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundations of the world."